SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two at the races, and coming out of another big weekend, and here's Johnny D joining us, and Johnny has had, he's had the, really a activity-filled summer. He's, where does racing even, where's racing ranking, Johnny? Because every time I look up, you're off to another adventure.
Stevie, you're hurting me here, buddy. You know, I've had to chastise my wife. Don't ever do this to me again. Give me a summer like this. Don't ever do this to me again. And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you know, every weekend there's something going on. There's, you know, you're killing me here. You know, I need to be able to concentrate on the races. I need to be able to, you know, win some money here. You're confusing me with all these other events." And then she pointed out that we had two weddings this summer, neither of which was her doing. Of course, you mentioned my trip to Del Mar. We also took a trip I'm thinking of Mohegan Sun in Connecticut for Belmont Stakes weekend. I did a seminar there. She said, "Well, that was your idea." We visit, her mother has a place at Cape May, so we visit that, you know, on a regular basis when we can. We've had people visit in town. My daughter was in town. We have some friends. We had some friends in town this weekend. She said, "Well, it was your daughter. I don't know why you're blaming me." I said, "Okay. These are your friends that are coming." "Okay. All right." So by the time the conversation concluded, it was clear that I was the cause of my own troubles. It was not my wife's doing. However, that being said, I have managed to participate in wagering events at Del Mar and Saratoga and Arlington Park this weekend on a regular basis. And I must admit, I'm getting killed here this summer. And I'm not alone, apparently, according to the Twitter. I apparently am not alone, because there was some grumbling this morning from people who don't normally grumble about such things. They're not having success this summer. And it wasn't just one person. It was a couple people. And particularly, I think the Saratoga meeting was what they were grumbling about. They're not winning there. And these are players who know what they're doing. And, you know, I recognize the names. And they're not the kind of people that are good. Look, horse players grumble all the time, and we're allowed to do that. It comes with the initiation fee. You're allowed to grumble, complain about DQs, whatever, complain about everything. We're allowed to do that. But these are people who don't normally complain. So I kind of said to myself, look, I know what my problem has been. I haven't been able to concentrate on the races. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking by it. Who knows? I might have lost more if I was able to concentrate. I don't know, but I'm sticking by that excuse. For others, though, I think, you know, Saratoga's been a difficult meet. I think partly because of the weather has really affected not just, you know, races coming off the turf. We're used to that. But it seems like it's happened a lot this meet. I think last meet it hardly happened at all. We got through the summer with very little. Most of the rain came on the off day. Off day, and the turf was in great shape the whole summer. And I, you know, there was some form that was established. But when races come off the turf, that's one problem, because you've got the horses with turf form, maybe back dirt form that you have to kind of handicap off of. But then you get into the question of, what about now? Will they still like the dirt? How good are they on the dirt? There are a whole range of handicapping questions that come into play when a race goes from turf to dirt. But there's another factor when you have a wet season at any racetrack. The other factor is that you get such varied turf conditions that it really, you know, we have firm, we have good, we have yielding, and soft, I think. Is that all of them? Did we get them all? Or is yielding soft? Yielding soft, I think, for us, isn't it?
No, the soft is the mushiest of wet turf.
Mushiest of mush? Okay. So, yeah. But in between those designations, there are other areas. And they do this much, they rely on this much more heavily in Europe, where they tell you what the stick, you know, is telling you how deep the course is. They take out these measuring sticks and they tell you how soft or how, and they do it from the inside to the outside. They tell you what the middle is like, what the alpha. They get, and the other thing that happens in Europe that does not happen here, to my knowledge, is there's much more emphasis on ground. Like, you hear trainers just endlessly talking about, oh, we didn't run because the ground wasn't to our liking, and he likes it firm, and it was soft to firm, or so, you know, I mean, they make these designations. It's very important to horses, according to trainers and riders. The footing is, they place much more emphasis on it than we do. Now, are they different horses? I don't think so. Are we wrong and they're right? I think, because normally we have our dirt surface is well maintained nowadays. We very rarely get those old, deep, muddy tracks. We learned to seal the racetrack, which is a whole nother issue. And so it doesn't get that, the water doesn't sink down. It doesn't take 5 days to dry out. It dries out in one day. In some places, it dries out before the end of the card. But turf is very different. I mean, it could not have rained for a couple days, but depending on other factors, humidity, wind, sun, sunlight, a turf course can still be on the really soft side rather than fast. And we may think, well, hey, it hasn't rained in 4 days, so it's got to be firm by now. Doesn't have to be. Not completely around the course. Plus, we don't have form on a lot of different soft, wet courses on horses. So you're kind of, as a handicapper, you're kind of looking for little clues when you think that, when it's clear the turf is soft, you're looking for little clues in the past performances, and you find a good race over a soft course and say, well, this horse loves it. He's going to love the going today. Well, yeah, but he's not the class, and he's not the speed, and the pace doesn't suit him, and blah, 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 blah. You know, he's not in form. And so it just adds another level of complexity to what we're trying to do. And by the time you know, your head's about to pop off by the time you're done looking at all this stuff, and you're zigging and zagging, it just makes an extremely difficult game more difficult. And I really do. I think that's part of what's going on for people who are, you know, banging their heads about, you know, not winning at Saratoga this year. You agree?
Well,
you sense this?
We discussed this yesterday with Paul and Duke Matisse on TV, and it came up on a regular basis last week when the rain and the off-the-turf scenarios really were starting to pile up. And between Thursday and Saturday and yesterday, you particularly had to be adroit. And Saturday, the fourth and the fifth came off the turf with only about 45 minutes to first post. So that puts you in a really difficult position right away. If you're a pick four, pick five player, pick four, you at least had, you know, a good hour and 20 minutes to prepare. But the pick five, you had 45 minutes. And as it turns out, there was a horse that in Cairo Cat that really boosted the pick five pay, and he was not hard to find. And even the 11th race that came off after the late sequences began, and they paid all $67 for the late pick four, and I had it five times. So because you got everybody pays, so that actually ended up quite okay, because Ticonderoga was a single, and you know you were going to use, you know, Voodoo Song and you know, maybe two, three others. It was not a tremendously challenging sequence. Inspector Lindley was a major lean, I thought. So either finding these horses Thursday, I've talked already extensively about the $18, or was it $16 or $18 on Mama White Sox in the nightcap, and there was $10 on Mamo in the fourth to start the pick six sequence. Those were ridiculous values, Johnny. And yesterday, Paul and Duke and I and Seth, I floated the concept, and Andy Serling has talked about it extensively, that the computer groups are probably not able to adjust, and that the algorithm is not able to take advantage the way it does elsewhere under this circumstance. And the fact that the public is regularly misidentifying horses to bet in these off-the-turf circumstances, they continue to bet the favorites that would have been favored on turf and not reevaluating the race off the turf, and they're missing opportunities. And I yesterday I kind of lashed out yesterday morning. I not usual for me to just finally get annoyed and you know, kind of snarl at somebody on Twitter who seems to love that the races come off the turf, and like these people celebrating that, I guess I can't play Saratoga. I guess that I got to look elsewhere. It's like, why? If you're serious about this game, then deal the hand, you know, the hand that you were dealt, play it and take advantage. Don't use an excuse because races came off the turf. It galls me that people are using this as some sort of way to say, oh, I can't win. You can't win because you're not trying.
Yeah, I think it's all my wife's fault, actually.
It's Gail's the easy target.
She is. You know, I really agree with one point you made, and that is reevaluating races after they come off the turf, and looking at, not just looking at turf form. You've got to look at dirt form. It's a different surface. And to go back to what I said earlier, the surface, and we've talked about this many times, the surface is so important. That, you know, dirt horses cannot automatically transfer their good dirt form to the turf. Likewise, turf horses cannot automatically transfer their turf form to the dirt. They are different. And your point about how the public does not seem to adjust when races are taken off the turf, I agree with 100%. And there are some great values in those situations. And people who become frustrated when races are taken off the turf, which, you know what? I understand the frustration. You know, you, if you do your work the day before, 2 days before, the night before, and they come off the turf, you are frustrated. There is, you know, I understand that frustration. But to go back in, dive back into the race, and look at it from a completely different angle, you've got scratches, and now you've got a different surface. You know, you have to do it. And I think from my experience, not just at Saratoga, but anywhere, you get these off-the-turf races, and if you handicap it based on dirt, the horses pay. I think that's one place where you do get significant value. I really do. I agree with you there. But it is frustrating. I also understand the frustration that people have, but it's nobody. I mean, there's nothing anybody can do about it. Obviously, the racetrack certainly doesn't want to take the race off the turf. They handle so much more with a full field on turf. But as you said earlier this morning, now the turf course has been chewed up. They remained on the turf Saturday for many of the races, and it got chewed up. And that's the danger that you run. And we don't have the luxury like they do in Europe of, you know, a race meet that's 5 days long and then you go someplace else. We don't have that luxury. We've still got, what do you got, 3-4 weeks left at 3 weeks left at Saratoga and Del Mar. And the turf course in Saratoga is used extensively. Now, okay, it's a large course, and you can move the rails around and do different things, but this summer's been a challenge for everyone, for horse players, for track maintenance crews. I'm sure jockeys and trainers are frustrated too. The sky's just opened a little while ago, opened wide here outside of Philly. And I mean, I haven't seen the rain come down like that in a long time. It was monsoon season, it looked like.
Well, we're not getting anything until tomorrow morning now. Now it's cleared up. It's going to be a little cloudy, but again, tonight, 4 a.m. And on, it looks like some rain into tomorrow, and there's some forecast for Wednesday.
I specifically instructed you to make sure all this was over before I got there.
Well, that's this. And you're not coming this week.
Like, no, but it doesn't seem like you've done anything.
I can tell you.
Worse since I talked to you.
They have, but I'll tell you, I will belie the crowd. I found it difficult the first 10 days, mostly because of activity. I mean, it was, things kind of broke running, and I had a ton of post-race responsibilities, obligations, and I was having trouble handicapping and getting out in front. And I made Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, the weather didn't hurt me midweek because I actually stayed home. And it gave me the chance, Johnny, to get out ahead and finally, you know, be a day ahead on the cards, as opposed to, you know, getting home at 10:30 night after night and trying to do the next morning and then quickly writing it up as before I get on the air and then finishing it when I get off the air. That's what was hurting me the first 10 days. And I was able to catch a couple of isolated horses, most notably the Richie Vega shipper, that Collegeville girl. And they've actually done very well in the maiden races. And it kept me kind of afloat. I mean, I certainly lost my share. But starting on, I guess it was Thursday, I really kind of felt like I was on top of it for the first time. And that has gone, you know, straight through the weekend.
I that's what you get, Stevie, when you're out there kissing hands and shaking babies.
Exactly.
So how
never
about
shake a baby.
Son? I heard you allude to Tina's 4 out of 10 is pretty good. Her success this weekend in Fun in the Sun. That's not bad. Not bad. 4 out of 10.
It's okay. It's okay. She's had three just fair weeks after that first. You know, the first opening week where she was as high as eighth. Since then, it's been a little bit of a struggle, but she is adding to her total. So if she can get hot down the stretch, she'll be all right.
The leader right now, well, let's talk about the weekly prizes. $7,000 in weekly prizes. And as you said, there was a mixture this week. You had to do a little shuffling around. Kelsey Onaga and Michael Teal tied for first place with $306 in earnings. That's based on a $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. So it's a $100 investment. They basically tripled the investment, and they won $3,000 each.
Nice.
Tripling an investment. You don't think that as that being that big a deal, but it is. It's hard, you know. Ed Hussein, $296. He finished third. He got $1,000. So the cumulative earnings for the season, there are two ways to win in Fun in the Sun. You can win the weekly total. You can win a prize for the weekly total. Or you can finish in the top four for the season and earn a seat in the Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship, or Challenge, Handicapping Challenge. Our leader from last, well, let's look at a few of these top players. In fifth place, Ben DeJong, he dropped back from third last week. He was sitting third. He dropped back a bit this week. He's got 634. Dropping back from second was Scott Shore. He's now got 608. And moving into the picture, Stephen Hilbert from seventh is now fourth. Greg Knepper from 21st had a big day. He's now third. And David Essig came from ninth. He's now second with $672.50 in earnings. And Richard Nielsen continues to lead the pack. He led last week, and he had another strong weekend. Nearly $300. He had $295.50 day. He's got an $82 lead over David Essig, and Richard Nielsen's total is $754.50. So he held the lead for 2 weeks, which is a challenge because it's tough to have, you know, to put together good weeks, good weekends, good Saturdays, one after the other. It's very difficult. So you want to build your total and then wait for that one great week that you have when you triple your bankroll or quadruple your bankroll and you go, you know, you make a $300 or $400 leap in the standings. Right now, if you look at the top 50, it's kind of interesting because the top 50 earners, seasonal earners, Tim Darnell and Patrick Cozzolino have $400 each. And you know how long we've been playing? 4 weeks.
Right.
I mean, that to me, it's amazing. That's the top 50 cutoff is breaking even for 4 weeks. Just shows you how difficult the game we play is.
Very much.
But how wonderful it is also.
Well, I gotta put in a big plug for Ben. Ben DeJong was a partner with us in Williams Lucky Gray. And he was, I know he won a Beat the Host 1 year. He won a week, I think, or scored out on Beat the Host. So happy to see Ben's name. There's a lot of familiar names. I mean, obviously Rich Nielsen, who is very familiar to people, and an industry participant. But Steve Hilbert and any number of tournament and contest regulars. I should actually take the opportunity to mention some of the big names from the weekend too, because you had in New York, we had the 2-day contest, And there's some names from there. I think Joe Pettit. Isn't Joe Pettit a... He shows up on Express Bet tournaments.
Yep.
Joe won... Yeah, he won Saturday. $20,785 total. He crushed that field.
The whole, that was on the whole Saturday. Tournament world has really developed. You know, it's amazing to have watched it come around. And some when we have these tournaments and you see some of the familiar names, you know, tournament after tournament, but then there are plenty of new people who jump in there and get a piece of things. And it's always good to see that, too. I like to see new people. And the Express Bet tournaments are great tournaments, too, for both experienced people and also for first-timers. Like, you know, you want to try the tournament scene. Quite fun in the sun. It's a $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 races. How much easier can that be? You know, all you got to do is pick winners. It's a great way to wet your beak.
Absolutely. I'll mention that Paul Sherman won the Friday contest. Put the top 20s up right now. I don't know if that was I put it on Facebook last night. People appreciated seeing it. So I'll put that out. Johnny, we're inching closer, and you will be here a week from Wednesday, right?
I can't wait. I can't wait. Because then I will be able to concentrate on my handicap. I will be able to dive into the form. And that will be my opportunity. I'm going to make it.
You'll be playing golf. I know you're at mom. Will's going to drag you out to the golf course.
That's in the morning.
All right. Well, then you'll be over at the pizza stand. You'll be busy getting pizzas.
We got to get some pizza. I got to get some Hattie's chicken. I got to hit the pizza.
You got your priorities.
My column last week at expressbet.com compared Saratoga and Del Mar. Since I was on the heels of a trip to Del Mar, I felt it was time to compare the two. And I got a good response from several different corners regarding the piece and some of the highlights I included in there. We've got Hattie's. We hit Hattie's first thing when we arrived. And then we definitely hit the pizza joint. I couldn't think of the name of the pizza place. What is the name of the pizza place?
It's the Pizza on Wheels. There's no name.
It's the name for that place?
Yeah. Not really.
No wonder I couldn't think of it.
it's like a horse with no name. This is the pizza with no name.
Yeah, that horse with no name thing. The guy was in the desert for 4 days. He couldn't name the horse. What else did he do?
He had all kinds of chances.
Yeah, I don't get it. He had 4 days to name the horse. He couldn't name him.
Tina's telling me to give out a push for DeFazio's down in Troy.
All right.
For pizza. All right.
At least it's an Italian joint. It has a name, and it's had a name for
probably 80 years.
I have to take my hat off to, and I'm not even wearing one, but I'll put one on so I can take it off, to Bob Hess and Ken DeSorno. Last night in the final race at Del Mar, the horse was training up north, and they brought the horse down, entered it for a tag, and it was an old school put over. The horse won by as far as you could throw a rock at about 9-1. That's the way they used to do in the old days.
Absolutely, and we get those here. They come in and get the money. We love it. That's part of the appeal. Yeah. Sniffing those out.
Knock me out of the pick everything. And I just stood there and I said, I just had to applaud because it was so well done.
They had to survive an inquiry too. And it ended up, you know, that horse delivered a the jackpot on the pick six to a single winner, as it happens.
Correct. I mean, it just was so well done. The word did not get out, and you say, well, maybe they didn't know. I don't know. You have one run like that, they knew. They knew. And congratulations to them that cashed.
No doubt. Johnny, my friend Bassam is letting me know Pie on Wheels is the...
Pie on Wheels.
There you go. Now you have a point of reference.
You called it Pizza on Wheels, didn't you?
Yeah.
Pie on Wheels. Okay, great. Thank you. I enjoy that. That's one of my little...
No, he does a great job. He's a good guy. Yeah. I'm going to forget his name, but... He's been a great addition for the last 10 years, really. Johnny, let me go.
I love listening to the inspirational Jerry Hollendorfer.
Jerry, do you want to give us more clues?
No. I'll tell you one thing, though, and I agree with you. Instagram, wow, what a beauty. Yeah. The way he moves. Wow.
Yeah.
What a beauty.
It's scary. It was scary.
Very nice.
Agreed.
He did it in his first race, too. Just what a mover. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. I know you got to go. I'll shut up.
Linda Rice joins us next. Johnny D, the irrepressible Johnny D. He got me riled up, and then he's got me laughing. Only Johnny, always great. Back after this, second half on this Monday, waiting for scratches. First and third off the turf. We're hoping that we're not going to get any more rain, but it doesn't appear. But they said at noon another update on the 4th and the 9th in terms of turf. But I think at this point we're okay. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Surprise, surprise, so you rubbed your eyes. Never knew beauty yet so cool as eyes. Hit a bite, then they'll be stupefied. Duck categorizes as hard cries. That's a lie, we know why we're occupiers. No words but up to your style, and these are higher. Profiles are low as soon as we go. As a breeze straight from a deeper shade of soul.
We're back at the races, a little UDS. Second half on this Monday. So much went on over the weekend, and of course the sale, a big part of the activities, the New York breds. And the horses themselves are doing their darndest, the New York breds, to get people to buy them and be excited and encouraged about the prospects, because between the Whitney Exacta and then Saturday's graded stake winners in the special, or not in the special, but in the Adirondack. We'll talk to Maya Engelhart in a little bit. And, of course, in the four-star Dave. And Linda Rice and Barry Schwartz saved Voodoo Song for the four-star Dave, the grade one opportunity, and it pays off handsomely with yet another impressive performance by this horse that has won over so many fans, and absolutely perfectly tuned by Linda Rice, who joins us now. Linda, congratulations to you and Barry and Jose Lascano.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Steve. It was very exciting to win a grade one with him here at Saratoga.
It's particularly engaging because of what happened last year, obviously, and now he's 5 for 5. He wins the grade one named for the Sultan of Saratoga, four-star Dave, who, you know, I suppose that that Voodoo Song can continue on and try to emulate four-star Dave. Linda, talk about the decision to run here, then having to deal with the turf that was less than firm, and everything that's gone into this horse's ascendancy to a grade one winner.
Yeah, Steve, and I think it's a particularly fun story because he started out in a 40 claimer and never went two last year early in the meet. And then by the end of the meet, he won a grade three in the Saranac. And, you know, it's just so rare to run a horse four times during the meet, much less to win four races. And then to come back this year and figure out how you're going to top that or even get remotely close to it, you know, we pointed towards the Lore, you know, we considered the Lore and the four-star Dave, and, of course, we have the West Point run here at Saratoga. They're all attractive spots. Barry was really wanting to run in the four-star Dave, and so being a grade one and at a flat mile, and it came off a flat mile win at Belmont in the Forbidden Apple. So, you know, and we were both concerned about the soft turf and the weather. And as you know, we've lost a lot of grass racing here at Saratoga due to the weather. And what grass racing we have has been on a soft yielding course. So those were all concerns for us. But Voodoo Song has a way of just overcoming a lot of things. And he did on Saturday. And he won a lot of hearts. He just digs in on the end of it and just doesn't want to be beaten.
You could see that. The way the race unfolded, I mean, talk about instructions to Jose and, you know, kind of going out to that backstretch lead and you know, open lengths. Then, of course, you know, the rallying troops, they all, you know, start to swarm in. And he did get a little bit of the kind of breather you hope for in the internal quarters. But as you say, when it came time to rebuff the challenges. First came Made You Look, and Heart to Heart then faded away from him, and everybody else, and then finally Jimmy's the Stronach horse comes running, Delta Prince, and he just won't let him by.
Yeah, he's remarkable. You know, I tell you, this year we had had different reasons why Jose Lascano rode him in Aqueduct in April when we were just getting a race under him, and then Jose was injured on a horse, had a concussion, so we used Johnny Velasquez as a last-minute replacement. So we've had four different riders coming into Saratoga, and then coming into Saratoga, everyone was out of town, and so I talked to Barry about it. I said, look, let's put Lascano back on, and frankly, he rode that horse just beautifully. He knows him well. Jose and I discussed it. Barry and I discussed it. You know, plan A is go to the lead, and we were concerned about Heart to Heart because he's obviously a fast horse too, but he's never put up the 44 and change half miles that Voodoo Song had dealt with at Belmont. And I was quite impressed with Voodoo because I was in a position where I had to choose between either running 7 furlongs or 1.5 miles. And I only had a race under his belt. I chose to go the 7/8, and he ran against a very fast horse, American Guru. And when they put up a half and 44 and change, and most turf horses that run 1 mile, 1.8 miles, you know, that's going to take the stuffing out of them. It's really going to compromise them at the finish. And he just gutted it out and was very impressive at Belmont in just the allowance races. So, you know, Barry and I discussed it with Jose, and we felt that our plan A was still to go to the lead because Heart to Heart had not put up half miles and 44 and change. So that was plan A. But Jose Lascano, just he executed it beautifully. By the time we got to the turn, he had established the lead, gave him a breather on the backside. You know, he was like 5 in front, but he did get a breather. And then going into the second turn, I mean, the cavalry charge was coming. And, of course, we were concerned with the half and 46 and 4 on a soft yielding course. You just never know if they're going to be able to hold up and stretch. But he's a remarkable horse, you know. So he does remarkable things.
Absolutely. And the win sets up any number of possibilities. Some thoughts about how you angle from here going into the fall.
You know, Barry and I talked about it. I mean, you know, we could go to Canada for the Woodbine Mile. That runs, I think, September 15th, then come back in the Shadwell Mile at Keeneland, and then the Breeders' Cup Mile. So that's kind of the schedule we're looking at right now. But nothing's, set in stone yet. We're going to take it day by day for a little while and give it some more thought.
Hey, from your experience, Linda, and you know, we think about all the success you've had with grass horses, and I don't want to pigeonhole you at all, but one of the things that becomes apparent when this being a son of English Channel, he certainly got over turf with give. What, from your experience, is the difference in different kinds of horses handling the firm going, cutting the ground, and then soft? We hear about hoof size, we hear about action, high knee action, etc., daisy cutting. Talk about confirmation and the different kinds of turf horses, and over the years, what gives you confidence under the different turf conditions?
Well, I think that a lot of those things come into play, whether it be their action, their hoof size. There's a lot of many factors that can, take a horse one direction or another, whether he appreciates the soft ground or he doesn't. But from my experience, I will typically have a lot of horses with natural speed, and they usually resent a soft turf. And actually, several of my horses here at Saratoga Meet have really, they have not done well on the soft turf. New York's Finest comes to mind, hated the soft turf, won 3 races here last year on a firm course. And I typically see that horses with speed resent it. But I think the biggest factor for me is that horses that are heavy muscle mass, they sink into the soft ground and they really struggle with it. I I believe that a horse that's a little lighter made, lighter boned, lighter, not a heavy muscle mass horse, you know, that's much more slight, typically gets over the soft turf much better than a heavy, muscular, big boned horse, and they just sink in too much. So, you know, they typically, the French fillies, they're light boned, they're made more like a deer. They seem to skip over it pretty well. So, and Voodoo Song is actually, he's a smart English Channel, being a son of Smart Strike. He's not a heavy, massive horse, and I think that that helped him with the soft turf in the four-star Dave as well. So.
Interesting. Well, we're going to talk about picking horses out in a second, because, of course, you were active the last two nights at the sale, and we'll get some thoughts from you on that front in a minute. Let's review what's been going on beyond just the four-star Dave win, and you just missed the other day with Jot looking to break a maiden. You had any number of nice runs so far in the meet. A little bit of an evaluation, Linda, halfway point?
Yeah, you know, typically when I come to Saratoga, we're a little stronger the second half than we are the first half. Usually at the end of the Belmont meet, we're playing our hand pretty aggressively. I always feel that the end of the Belmont meet is a good opportunity to run strong, because people will be holding horses for Saratoga that are well-meant. So we usually, you know, play a strong hand at the end of Belmont, and then it turns around, we do the same at the end of Saratoga. So we have quite a bit coming up in the second half of the meet. And a few stakes horses coming, Split Time, who won the Finger Lakes Oaks, is scheduled to run into the Fleet Indian. I have Sower, who won the Jersey Girl at Belmont.
Yeah.
We skipped the test with her, and we're waiting for the Prioress that comes up later in the meet. I've got the Intermischief Philly, She's Trouble, the broker maiden here, and we're pointing her towards the, I think it's a Lynbrook. It's on the 24th, New York bred fillies, two-year-olds. So we've got, you know, I think the second half of meet will be much stronger for us.
Is Stony Bennett going to run back?
Yes, he should make another start, and I'm going to hope it rains. He seems to like the mud.
He's okay. So, and yet another busting stones. Roddy, just unbelievable how many they all come running.
When I got Stony Bennett, I was so excited. I thought, geez, we might be able to run a horse, win a race for Roddy at Saratoga. Wouldn't that be exciting, you know? And so I had thought about it the last couple of months, because we gave him some time off. We brought him back, and I thought, you know, I just have to figure out how to win a race at Saratoga with this horse. And we did. We got that done, but then Roddy was in California, so
unbelievable.
He wasn't here for the race. So,
well,
we'll try again.
I'm going to leave it. I'll leave it in your good hands. We did hear the news that Nicodemus got nicked up coming out of the Curlin.
Yes, he came. He was just a breath off in the right front, and he's got a little inflammation in suspensory, so we're going to give him some time. So he will not be coming back at the meet here. But I think he's a very nice horse, and we're excited about him down the road. And I told Auburn Marota, who knows, maybe we can get him to the Whitney next year, like diversified. So we'll just have to give him the time he needs.
Absolutely. You're sending horses around, too. Your exploits down at Laurel continue, and you've been very good down there, even though I think they're still waiting for your first appearance.
Yes, we usually ship down to run, and I have had horses stable down there as well. So, but Laurel's been a good outlet for us, particularly in the winter. You know, if the weather stops us from racing, or if we're racing 3 days a week in New York, or if we have horses that several for the same condition, it's been a great outlet for us. You know, the purses are pretty good in Maryland. So, you know, that's been a great asset to us, really year-round, but more through the winter at Aqueduct.
Linda Rice with us, and got to talk about the last two nights. And you were active. I think you signed for half a dozen, maybe. And some thoughts about what we saw: the New York breds in great demand and a record-setting couple of nights.
Yeah, you know, every year that sale becomes stronger and stronger with more quality. I think a lot of people are breeding their mares, whether it be the New York Stallions or the bulk of them to Kentucky Stallions. But the New York Bred program is so popular. It's such a financially, it's terrific for the owners and the breeders. And I think more people are becoming familiar with that. And I even see people, Kentucky farms, sending mares to New York to drop New York Breds as well. So it's very competitive at the auction to buy those horses. And as you can see, whether it be the Whitney or the Four Star Dave or the Adirondack, I mean, the New York Breds are strong. They compete in open company, and yet you get these extra bonuses. So it's a terrific program, but the only problem with it is it becomes harder and harder to buy those horses at the sale. The prices get higher and higher every year. We did manage to get six out of there, and I did buy Holiday Disguise at that auction and split time 2 years ago. So it's been a good sale for us in the past.
I mentioned at the top of the show what a magical week it's been for Fasig Tipton in general, but specifically for Mrs. Nielsen. And you took home the Union Rags filly from last night, hip 423. Actually, that might have been first night, and 140,000 for this one. And I do see that you bought mostly fillies, actually. Is that coincidental, or just the way it broke, or is that some of the client preference?
A little of both. I mean, we bid on some colts, and we're outbid on some colts, and we maybe played our hand a little stronger at a few clients that are looking for the residual value after the racing career. The Union Rags filly was a half-brother to a horse that I trained for, Lady Sheila Rosenblum, Forever in Love. And I was also familiar with the full sibling that won a stake at Laurel that was not listed in the catalog. And so, you know, we think she has some residual value. So we may have played a little harder on the fillies than the colts. Mrs. Nielsen has been just a terrific breeder. And she had the American Farrow colt that sold so well at the first auction. And she visited my barn the next day, and she told me that this Union Rags was a barn favorite, her favorite. She had a hard time selling the horse and wanted to keep it. So she was excited that it was sold to someone that was going to race her in New York. So, you know, was happy to have her.
You know, I think that patter that about not wanting to sell, I think she uses that on all of her offerings.
She may. That might be her sales pitch.
And it comes off really sincerely.
It does. Anything she would say would.
She was on with me Thursday, and I had to congratulate her on the million seller. And she said, "Well, I've got the filly the first night, and she's American Pharoah, and I, gosh, I don't want to sell her, and I'm gonna." Same thing. Yeah. And she had the Into Mischief too, the 300 and change. I mean, she had a $2 million week, a New York breeder. It's amazing. Now, the most important question, of course, that's pending: what are we doing about Aaron? How are we going to get Aaron his Saratoga win?
You know, we're going to struggle through that. We still have 3 weeks left, so we're going to do whatever it takes to get him to the winner's circle.
He did say at the beginning of the meet that he was resting a lot of his horses for September, for Belmont, and he's very reasonable, as opposed to some owners who might want you to win it at any cost.
Well, and we, you know, I think Aaron got spoiled. We had a terrific season, not last year, the year before. But then this past year, he thought that maybe we would save up our horses to race at Aqueduct to the winner, where the purses are good and the races are smaller fields and a little easier to win. So, but, you know, we still have a chance to get him a winner here.
I fully expect that purple jacket and Aaron's. Did he buy any pinhooks among these?
I don't think he got anything. They bid on a few, but I don't believe he got anything.
No, his action will come at Keeneland, and and probably little timonium, and a lot of these, you know, there were some the RNAs were high on the first night, and expect a lot of these will come back. We'll see them at timonium.
Yeah.
Who? Last question: who among the first crops are you most impressed with?
First crop. Well, obviously the American Faro sold extremely well.
Sure.
And there were a couple other first year stallions.
The Tonalists?
Oh, yes. There was a nice Tonalist colt last night sold by Indian Creek. I was very impressed with him. They sold a nice Palace filly as well that I believe Robert Messiello bought. I'm drawing a blank here on the first year stallions.
That's all right. The Tonalist Lee Einsiedler bought that.
Yes, Lee Einsiedler,
that Tonalist colt.
He was a lovely colt. Yeah, out of a street sense mare.
He's a big strapping thing.
Yeah, yes, he was.
And you know, you mentioned Palace, Linda, and seems like that's a story that's bubbling under the surface. The Palace offspring have gotten a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah, they sold very well. It was a lot of talk about them at the Passage July sale, and then I think they sold well again last night. So, you know, there's a chance that he's got big shoes to fill with City Zip having passed this last year, but there's hope that he can fill his shoes. There's not that many sons of City Zip out there, Buff and Stones being one. Majestic City had a nice offering last night as well. I believe Nick DeMerrick bought it, and we're hoping... You know, I have high hopes for Palace also. It's done.
Linda Rice, and another terrific Saratoga. When you win a grade one at the Spa, pretty much guarantees that it's going to be a good meet. But keep an eye. Feels like there's a number of wins pending between now and Labor Day. Linda, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great day.
You Bye-bye. Too. Linda Rice, everybody. And Linda sending out with the exultation in the nightcap today. And that right now remains on the grass. The scratches, I recirculated Andy Serling, who does everybody a favor with the early distribution of the scratches. He gets them before they get up on Equibase. And that'll give you a little help. And actually, really not a lot of... The first race got chewed up a little bit, down to four, but everything else is okay. The third still has six. But it's not going to be an easy pick five. The pick five will be a little tricky. That maiden race is very good. The fourth race, which is still on the turf, that group, there's some fancy horses in there. Some big ticket prices, 800,000 and 400, 450, etc. We'll glance at that at some point in the morning. Let's take a break. We got one more hour, and we have to get to Johnny V, Ian Wilkes, Maya Engelhart. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However,
There are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.